This week on Potlatch, retired reindeer herder Chester Sevich and two reports from Canada.
Man,
That selection brought to you by Buffy St. Marie and a rather imaginative electronic engineer. Chester Sevick herded reindeer for 46 years, then wrote a book about it. Here he tells how he got started in reindeer herding.
The government brought 208 in 1908 from Nome. Only 208. They hired me to raise that 200 reindeer, 1908. And another boy with me, his name is George Unalak. He passed away 11 years ago. I'm only one leave.
How did you learn how to herd reindeer?
Well, two Laplanders come to teach me how to raise reindeer. So I started after I learned to raise reindeer.
What kinds of things do you have to know in order to raise reindeer?
Well,
to herd them?
I have to know to protect from the storm, and especially food, reindeer moss in wintertime. Summertime, they eat grass, leaves, and new leaves. Also, they protect from the wolf. We watch night and day, especially when the fawning season.
How many reindeer did you have under your protection?
Well, we have only two person, 200 days started. When they grow up to 1,000, I have to hire three herders, sometimes four, over 1,000 head reindeer. So they herd reindeer 5 o'clock, 12 hours each person. I like reindeer herd because you see that if the animals, wild animal gone, only reindeer, we have to food, clothing. So that's why we try to make crow the reindeer. Increase what I mean.
What do Eskimo people use reindeer for?
Well, they use for the clothing, food, even the horn, they make handles. They use skin, everything, even the bone. My mother saved the bone after we eat the reindeer. They have to chop it up and cook it with fresh water. So the bone crease save it, just like a lard.
How many reindeer would it take to feed a family over a winter?
Well, every month we use food, 2 deer each month, a family. Each month, 2 deer.
And how do you prepare the meat?
Well, we butcher meat in summertime. We dried some of it and we saved some in a dig in the ground, make a freeze over there. Mostly summertime we dry the meat. Wintertime we freeze them, cut it up.
Do you use salt or some preservative to keep the meat
during
the summer?
We never use salt that type. Not many started salt. We never salt it.
You just keep it drying?
Yeah. Some people too, when they salt in the water, dip it meat and hang it up, make salt. The reindeer long hair, we use a mattress. Mattress and they make the skin. They take him out the ear and make a leather out of it. Heavy skin. But summertime, we fence skin for clothing. We use for clothing, sleeping bag, mittens, socks, bands, and parka.
Do you think that reindeer herding will provide jobs for many Eskimo people or for just a few in the future?
Before early started reindeer herding, everybody answers to herding reindeer. They like to be reindeer herder. Later on, the reindeer grow, so many grow, the people kind of lazy. They not take care of the reindeer much. They try to get a job to get money, a salary wages, something like that. So very few reindeer herders enjoy the herd.
Would you do that again if you were a young man?
Yes, we do that with a young man. I like reindeer herding. 46 years living in reindeer herd.
You must be the person who has done more reindeer herding than anybody else in the United States.
Sure, yes. Those start with me who reindeer herding, pass away everything. Only me left. Tipolina, Point Hope, Point Barrow, and all over.
Mr. Sevek had to cope with many hazards. One unlikely hazard was a herd of caribou, which the reindeer joined.
They followed this. They took it away. The reindeer followed the caribou. We tried to protect. We couldn't. So many caribou coming in. 1,000, 10,000, sometimes herd coming, mixed with the reindeer. We tried to get away from reindeer. Can't do it. They took it away. We saved a part of it. Cut it out. Most of the reindeer go by the caribou when caribou coming in.
Were you ever able to get them back?
No. Can't do that. They follow them, the caribou traveler, running, not stop one place. So that's why we lose the moose. Also, somebody, they don't like herding much. Very few herders, me, not my brother-in-law, we take care, two of us. So they kept coming in, mixed up. We fought 3 days, and cut off about 1,000, because there was 5,000 that herd. They gone. And wolf, so when the wolf comes that time, the wolf, about 20, 50 in the pack, followed the caribou. So the killing of the reindeer, we couldn't protect from that. We tried to caribou get away, but never stop coming into the herd. But we take from the wolf, okay, we can hide and watch all the time. We saved the reindeer by the wall, but we couldn't save from the caribou. Caribou coming in mixed up. They run away. They follow the reindeer. Reindeer follow the caribou. That's why we lost so many reindeer. Very few left.
How big is the herd now?
I don't know. All together about 22,000, I guess. That's all. All from Nome, Kachibu, Staden, Buglan, Taring, is about only 22,000. Point Hope, Point Barrow, Wainwright, Tivolina, no more reindeer that followed the caribou. Only places started Kachibu and the Buglan inside the coast. The caribou inland, you see, carrying out on the course. And Nome, some in the Nome.
Did you sell the reindeer when they were?
Oh, yes. Good market reindeer.
Well, who'd you sell them to?
The boxers used to become boxers. They have full storage. And North Star. They took about every summer we put at 1,000, sometimes 2,000 steers. Ship him out. back to Seattle. That time with a lot of reindeer. 3 summer, they put it, 1,000 cargos in the fish and cold storage. No stuff? No, no more. When they come, very few left. Now, they started catching you now. I don't know how they going, growing, increase a little bit, all right, I guess. Not many careful in Kachibu, the peninsula, right, peninsula. The careful going to the mainland, too many wolf. That's why before the careful never come, not very few wolf, very few. Now they have pups all over inland, mostly back at Point Hope, large wolf.
Do you think they should shoot the wolves?
Oh, yeah, they could shoot, but pretty hard to catch them, the smart wolf. That's why I write the book, to raise reindeer in that book.
Although Chester Sevig has retired from reindeer herding after 46 years, he has not retired completely yet.
With the time we stay, summertime we could catch a mule to take care of tourists. We tourist guide so many years now. I started in 1954. I was retired from the government. I worked for government 46 years to raise reindeer. Retired 1954. 1 week after in July, wind tried to get me a job. Watch up. You take care of tourists just like a reindeer. When the tourists come, you take care. You saw them all over. So I started to work 1 week after retired. Started another herd again, just like reindeer. I took him around tourists every summer since 1954. Maybe this summer, the last one, I guess. I like to retire. Tourist guide. But they say it's 1 more year, Chester, 1 more year. We get no man to take your place. After we get man, you retire. 1 more year. 4 times now, 1 more year.
In the gold rush days of the Yukon, many long years ago, over the words and the cries heard, let the mind that Yukon go. They came from the wide world over, they fought through the wind and cold. Down the river they came, chanting the name of gold, Yukon go. Well, Carmack and old Peggy's Charlie, and another man called Skookum Jim, on Bonanza they made the discovery of gold, and the miners came in. They staked every hill in the Klondike, looking for old Mother Lode. They fought and they tried, and many men died for gold, Yukon gold. They built Dawson City. Oh, how the town did grow. The fever ran high, and this was the cry. It's gold, Yukon gold. With the dance halls, the music and gown, the whiskey like water did flow. And a fortune was made by the gamblers that play for gold, Yukon gold. Well, a gold bottom creek and bonanza, a fortune lay there in the sand. They came by the thousands to find it. With shovels they dug up the land. They staked every hill in the Klondike, looking for old Mother Lode. They fought and they cried and many men died. Go, oh go. Now the gold rush and the Klondike is over. The dance halls are ancient and old. Everywhere you can see a true memory of gold. Dawson is a romance in history. Many are the stories he spoke of an old mining town where the fortune is found. Gold is called gold. While a gold bottom creek and bonanza, a fortune lay there in the sand. They came by thousands to find it. With shovels they dug up the land. They staked every hill in the Klondike, looking for old Mother Lode. They fought and they tried, and many men died. Gold, you call gold, or gold, you call gold, or gold, you call gold.
That was a group called the Yukon Stars from Canada. Also from Canada, a report on how non-native values affect native cultures in that country. Tom Paschal reports.
Progress is often like candy. It's tantalizing and it gives an energy rush. But in the long run, it's not that good for us. More of a mixed blessing than a healthy treat. An in-depth study of an Inuit community in southern Baffin Island has recently made this point quite clear. Inuit have been living in Lake Harbor on the Hudson Strait for at least 100 years. They survive by hunting seal, walrus, and beluga whale, as well as caribou, eider ducks, and eggs. But the largest single source of food is the common ring seal. This area is quite fortunate in the abundant local supply of food. The history of the region has virtually no reports of starvation, although from time to time people have gone hungry. Progress arrived at Lake Harbor in the same form as in other places here in the north. First came the rifle, and then came the motorboat and the snowmobile. These innovations drastically changed the way of life in southern Baffin Island. The rifle allowed the Inuit to kill their game from a long distance away, and thus to kill more game. And the motorized transportation changed the nomadic way of life into a stationary one. It meant that Lake Harbor became a permanent settlement, and not just a camp for certain times of the year. The effect of changing a nomadic lifestyle into a stationary one are largely psychological and difficult to evaluate, but the impact of the rifle is far more clear. The problem stems from the fact that seal live in water, and these fatty animals usually float easily in the dense salt water. But in spring they start to fast and quickly lose their fat buoyancy. In addition, the melting snow of spring and summer dilutes the salt water and makes it less dense. This wasn't a problem when the seal were hunted with harpoons held by ropes. But now, when the Inuit shoot the seals with rifles, very often they simply sink to the bottom during the peak hunting season, June to July. Losses are so high that almost 2 out of 3 seals are lost this way. There are still plenty left, but the long-term effect of this waste will eventually accumulate until seal hunting becomes more and more difficult. Even now, the complaint is often heard that the behavior of the seals has changed. They no longer approach people closely and have learned to be afraid of the noises from motorboats and rifles. It seems that progress can't be successfully achieved in bits and pieces. The temporary thrill of greatly improved hunting is changing the nature of the hunt. It is now too late to go back to the old days and their ecological stability, and no one really wants to. But the present is not stable either. Hunting problems will be overcome with more technological imports as the traditional way of life becomes more and more closely wed to the tiger of progress. We have it by the tail and don't dare let go.
Tom Paschal from Canada. Next, we hear the Eskimos of Chesterfield Inlet in Canada and the dance song Hunting for Muskox.
Yeah.
That was the Eskimos of Chesterfield Inlet in Canada. Next, Kathy Van Bibber of CBC in Whitehorse, Yukon Territory.
The Council for Yukon Indians wants to resume land claims negotiations with the federal government as soon as possible. The CYI is the umbrella organization of Native people in the Yukon, formed in 1973 to negotiate land claims for all people of Native ancestry in the territory. The question of guaranteeing Indians a place in government was a topic of considerable discussion throughout the assembly. The first recommendation was that only people who have lived in the Yukon for a minimum of 10 years would be eligible to vote or stand for elected office. This recommendation is designed to protect Indian people from being overwhelmed by an influx of transients who come north with major development projects and then leave after a few years. The second recommendation was to protect fish, game, and wildlife from transient hunters and would make anyone who has not lived in the Yukon for at least 10 years ineligible for hunting or fishing licenses. The Assembly agreed to support these recommendations to the Berger Inquiry. Indian Affairs Minister Warren Allman indicated to the Council that the question of provincial status for Yukon could not be considered until the rights of the 6,000 people of Indian ancestry in the Yukon were guaranteed.
From Whitehorse, Kathy Van Bibber. From Fairbanks, this is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening. Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.